Welcome to Dentists, Implants, and Worms, helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. As always, from day one, this episode is brought to you by Boyd's Wine and Spirits on Mount Rushmore Road in Rapid City, South Dakota. The finest selection of bourbon and wine for miles around with cold beer, a growler station, and rock bottom prices. Now, here are your co-hosts, Drs. Justin Moody and Randy Huska.
Welcome to another episode of Dentist Implants and Worms. Helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. Live from the Bellagio in Las Vegas. Before we get started, I can't help but talk about our one and only sponsor from day one, Boyd's Wine and Spirits, Mount Rushmore Road, Rapid City, South Dakota. Got a growler station, great bourbon selection, and damn low prices. Randy's been there.
I've been there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's good.
It is good.
Yeah.
You got some mezcal there.
I had a small mezcal incident in January. So we're,
what is mezcal?
Is that tequila?
Tequila.
Brown people don't drink tequila.
I just whatever's free, I take.
Tip or Coke.
Yeah. Well, even if it's free, I just drink water. I had to pee like four times a day. So.
All right, we're live from the Acteon booth, one of the main sponsors for Thrive Live here, and. This is Justin Moody, my trusty co-host, Randy Huska.
Hey.
And we have two of the main stage speakers here at Thrive Live. We've got...
I'm with royalty.
We are with royalty, absolutely.
For sure, with me at least.
Yeah, we are here with...
Can I hold your crown?
he was talking to you, not me.
Dr. Christine Odland and Dr. Tarun Agarwal.
I'm shocked AKA you even actually know my name. I'm shocked you just didn't say T-Bone.
Well, T-Bone's not really your name, but
no,
like you go
yeah.
by T-Bone.
I
do you actually is it okay being called?
Yeah, I like that.
T-Bone.
Yeah,
you'd rather that than
it's better like, than what Mona calls me.
Tell us.
Definitely. She calls me asshole typically or jerk.
Oh,
you dumb.
Now you stand at the front of the stage and you tell the world that she calls you a trophy husband.
She doesn't. Well, I'm no. That's not
what
I said.
He calls himself a trophy.
I call my. I said I'm working on becoming the trophy husband. Okay. I didn't say she. Look, do I look like I have the body of a trophy husband?
You're working on it, though.
I am 100% where I'm 20 pounds down. So
between you and I, we have three trophy husbands.
Yeah, no joke. Put Moody in the mix, and we might be at 4.5.
You bastards! All right. Well. Yeah, awesome job at the front of the stage, you two.
Thank you.
That was
well. You're very biased towards Chris for sure.
I'm your friend.
I understand that, but you'll tell me the truth.
you f up, he'll tell you. To Chris, okay. He just says no. Nobody noticed.
I did not say that,
Justin. What are you doing on
you
Tuesday
would,
nights these days?
I whatever I want.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Your Tuesday nights are free now.
Yeah, yeah.
I have another question for Randy.
Yeah.
Randy, where...
Next topic.
Yeah. No, please.
Randy, where are we at on this associate thing? Well, because the last time we talked
some
together...
Some guy mentioned it to me, and then that leaked out to my staff. They heard that you mentioned it to me, and that was the first they had ever heard of me looking for an associate. So they were setting some parameters.
What kind of parameters?
Oh, can't be this, can't be that, I don't know. But... I don't know.
What is your team looking for in the perfect associate? A carbon copy of you?
I hope not.
You know, I just have been so solo so long that I just don't know how I would play with others. You know?
Easy.
Just do it, I suppose.
Dude, once you experience freedom, you'll be like, okay,
yeah,
I like it.
I know. It's just one of those things. I'm a slow mover. Took me forever to get a Sarek, and then when I did, you're all in. Took me forever to whatever, cone beam, all in. But I take a long time to pull the trigger.
Well,
like 59 years.
Well, you know, look. Chris, could you imagine doing what you do without an associate?
Absolutely not. I have two and love both of them dearly.
Yeah, Sam, I have two now, and I want a third one. I want the third one to replace me completely.
So, and you know, I'm a 5-op. Office, and you're going to tell me that's enough room, right?
That is enough room.
I knew you were going to tell me
yeah.
that.
Because you need to
work
out.
You answered your own question.
I know.
But that's because you should work out of one room.
Yeah.
And so the associate can run the other four ups. Like, I don't even do hygiene checks anymore.
No, that'd be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I still do some hygiene checks.
I do some. I shouldn't say I don't do any. I do some, but it's not my main
priority.
You don't
do 3 an hour?
No.
A day?
Maybe. Three to four a day might be pretty normal.
Yeah. We're just, yeah. And, you know, here's my defense for everything is, dang, I'm just so busy right now. I don't have time to do it.
But that's why
you are going to tell me?
That's why you need one.
I've never been in my whatever 32 years to the point where, you know, someone wants an implant and they're telling them like, well, no, that's, you know, we'd have no time for 6 weeks. I'm saying, I don't think that's right.
Yeah, it's not right.
And hygiene's booked out.
But I heard a guy from the front of the stage though today, like, hey, throw some MOD out of the way for the titanium.
Yeah, yeah.
Like my argument to you, 32 years in, correct, Randy?
Yeah.
Is why in the world are you still doing fillings and single crowns?
I don't know. Because that's what I do, T-Bone.
I mean, honestly, you could work 2 days a week, make the same money.
I know.
I mean, you could.
But
it's up to you.
You're taking care of your community. I think there's a balance in that.
Well, he doesn't have to be the one taking care of the community. Yeah. An associate would help him take more care of the community because you'll be able to serve more people.
Yeah. And and actually what I've talked about a little bit with, for example, if I didn't have a full-time job for an associate, Kevin Donlin, he's, what, an hour away from me?
Right.
He said, well, you know, we could always split one. They could live in Sioux Falls. That's north, you know, and one take three, one take 2 days, whatever. But I'm sure probably I got enough.
I think the number one fear, I think the two fears that most people have with an associate.
Change.
Well, I'll take, okay, sure, we'll add that in. I think the first fear is they fear they don't have a big enough practice for it. They can't support them. And then the second fear is how they're going to afford it, you know, because most people don't want to take their own haircut on the front end of it. And I think, there's the other fear of, am I going to get the right person? Are they going to fit our culture? And the truth is that is a wild card,
yeah.
Okay, and that's just part of the game. But you can't continue. What I have to ask you, Randy, is can you see yourself doing this exact same thing 5 years, 6 years, 7 years from now?
Can
you run that hard, right?
No.
And so
I've run hard a long time.
Yeah, so what I tell everybody is we think about the exit too late in the game.
Yeah.
And we should start thinking about the exit 10 years before we think we need to exit.
So I'm a few years late.
Well, I mean, it's never too late.
You can catch up.
But it's time.
Yeah, I know it's time.
It's time.
So let's develop an action plan here.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus,
you know, for him. You know, yeah. Like I've heard this conversation before.
Yeah.
Like, so what do we need to do?
First step is you got to put an ad out.
Or talk to reps.
Yeah, the same thing.
And yep. Actually, my Shine rep said, she said, just last week, got someone in Minnesota. You know, she's looking around and whatever. And
they want to move somewhere warmer.
Yeah,
to Vermilion.
So,
is it warmer than Minnesota?
Parts of it for sure.
I mean,
2 degrees
is minus 20 any colder than minus 15?
Yes, by 5 degrees.
No, once it's that cold, it don't matter.
Speaking of which, cold. I was in Fargo a couple of days ago,
oof,
and it was snowing there.
Yes, it does that in
April,
the winter.
April, whatever 9th, whatever the date is today.
It does it that there half the year.
That's crazy.
October to April.
I drove through some snowflakes going up to Sioux Falls, but it wasn't snowing. It was.
So step one, Randy, so we don't get off this topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Tried.
No,
is you need to put an ad out.
Would you like Implant Pathway to reach out to the alumni? Yeah, then you get somebody. There might be some associate there that would love to.
Only place implants?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, though.
Exactly. Oh. That's what he should be doing. He needs a bread and butter dentist. He should no longer be doing any restorative dentistry.
That's true. I'd miss those MODs.
I think you got to get out of the way, Randy.
I think
action step number one is you got to get out of the way. I think you should just tell somebody you want an associate and tell them to find you one.
There's the other thing. I don't like managing, mm-hmm. like paying, all that. I freaking have no idea how to do all that shit.
So perfect. So just tell somebody you want one. The first step is you as the leader, as the boss, have to say, this is what I want.
Because my name's on the door.
That's right. Your name is on the door.
Yeah. I heard some guy say that this morning.
Your name is on the door.
It is.
And my goal is to have somebody else's name on the door with you.
Yes.
So you can stay in the game longer.
I got to scrape a name off of his door.
Yeah, well, soon enough, but that's what it is.
Neither here nor there.
But, yep, I do have to do it. I know that. So that
Step
would be
Step one
sweet.
Is get out of the way. Tell somebody in the office you want an associate. And then just all I'm asking is for you to interview some people. I didn't say you have to hire anybody.
Is Gina your rep?
Yeah.
Shiner? So I'll give you a week to contact her.
No, she's already got names. She's the one.
Then
that just,
do the interviews.
I don't know how to interview.
Yeah, just let me
accelerate this. I'll send Gina a text and say that this
Christ.
Is.
But actually, let's talk about the interview process, because that's actually a great topic
and
good content, because interviewing is pretty easy, but it's not until they actually get in and start working that you see the actions.
You don't know.
And it is hard because you've had
turnover.
With
Well, there's a couple of different things. Again, depending on the people you're looking for, one of the things I ask for is I ask people to send me their work. So like the current dentist that just joined, the second associate that joined a practice, I said, so part of the interview process is I want you to send me all x-rays of all your fillings and crowns for the next week that you do in your current office. And then I want you to send me some pictures of your preps, even if you take it with your iPhone or whatever, so that we can have a conversation about them. So I asked them to send me pictures of their work. And so a couple of things. One, it shows that they're interested because it takes some work, right? Two, it allows me to evaluate if they really want to be mentored, because they all say they want to be mentored. But what they really just want is somebody to show them how to do stuff and not really give them the tough advice. So it allowed me to do that, and he was great about that, and we had text conversations. And the other things, it also sets the expectation of how I'm going to mentor. I'm going to mentor virtually through text. I'll be in the office some, but I'm not going to be there as much as they are, so I'm not going to hold their hands. So it turned out to be good, and we had good conversations. I was able to see his preps. He came from a digital office, so he sent me screenshots of his scans. And I, you know, his preps, you know, weren't exactly where I needed them to be for CAD/CAM preps, but they were so close, and there was, you know, it was a good starting point, and he was very receptive to the feedback I was giving him.
And how far out of dental school was this person?
He graduated in May.
Okay.
So
new grad. You got a greenhorn.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that's my first time hiring a greenhorn.
And I did talk to a kid who has 1 year left of school, and he's working in a dental office. He's one of those gunners. He's ahead of the game already. And
I worry about those people.
Like, he's designing their guides for him and stuff. He's a digital nerd a little bit, but he reached out, and he would love to live in that type of the area. He's from somewhere in Nebraska.
Sign him up.
So I talked to him quite a bit.
Stop talking. Sign him up.
Okay, I got a year left.
Perfect.
That gives me plenty of time.
No. In the meantime, we'll get another one.
Okay. Jesus.
To prove the concept.
And then just fire that
no,
one?
No, but maybe you walk away.
Well, okay.
You know, maybe you have two other people. You know, part of us is, because I've done this with our mastermind people. I've got a guy right now, he's like, oh, I've got this young lady that's going to be moving to my community, and they don't graduate school for a year. I'm like, okay, so get somebody for a year. Because most associates don't last more than a year. As it is. Okay?
Yeah, 85% do not.
Right. So
average exit is 14 and a half months.
So if you have somebody you really like, what you want them to do is walk in with the ground already going.
Yeah.
Versus having to start from scratch. Correct. So my argument was, it would be the best time to get started is now. You can prove the concept that it works. And then when the person you really like comes in, at that point you may be like, wow, I like this person too. And this person, maybe I'll build a new place. Maybe I'll add on. Maybe I'll cut down to 1 day or 2 days a week. You know, you just have to get your mind open to what's going to happen is going to happen. Okay. At the end of the day, you're not 40 anymore, Randy. You know, you have to start planning for that exit. And no offense, us three aren't the picture perfect health either. So, you know, so we got to, I don't know what Justin's looking at, but he's not the picture perfect health either. But you need to start that strategy. And then, quite frankly, adding an associate makes your practice more valuable.
Sure.
And so you want to maximize your value for your exit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I can't argue with any of it.
I know. You're just lazy about it.
Yeah, we're here to – I've sent Gina a text, like, she'll –
Thanks.
Just got an interview, man. You don't know – you know, what I'll accept is that you interview people like I don't like any of them.
Yeah.
Okay. No problem. Just keep interviewing until you find one you like.
So what do we got to give him? 30, 60 days to get the first interview under his belt?
Yeah, 60 days is plenty.
Yeah, 60 days.
Oh, I had the one. I had the one with the kid in school. That was a Zoom.
That's not an interview.
No,
it's a year out.
No.
No.
It's his turn already. He's like, he goes, can we get a different topic now?
I knew this was coming as soon as I saw him there. I have no argument for any of it other than I just haven't done it.
Yeah. At some point you need to.
What do you think contributes to that 85% of failure rate? Like, that's a high failure rate.
Let me go before T-Bone and see if he agrees. I think that the average dentist in looking for their first associate is probably more than like been working for 20, 25 years. But I think what derails it is that the dentist that comes in brings an associate for what reasons? I'm booked out 6 months, whatever that is. And without understanding what the next two doc is going to do to the practice. So step one is understanding we're going to have an associate come in, and the owner doc has got to ramp his practice up, because
going to take a hit.
Well, even though that you're booked out 6 months, two providers will shrink that down in 30, 40 days out, and now we start to see holes in the schedule.
Yeah.
And the majority of the owner doctors are like, they feel a sense of fear.
Right.
And now it's like, then they go, and this is what really derails it faster, is like they go and like, hey, front desk,
we need to fill my schedule.
My schedule gets full. The implants, the bridges come to me. You know, they can do the other shit that I don't want to work. Well, the truth is they don't really want to do that either. Now, younger docs, like, they're still pretty excited about fillings and such. But, like, you want to get them in and do real mentorship so they can move in that circle of life. I think the other thing that happens is that the owner doctor isn't cognizant that they have to step away some when they get there. Like if you've been working, you work 4 days now.
4 days.
Yeah. Like day one of the associate, you got to go to 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe even 2.5. But like, you got to give a couple days in the shop of you and the mentorship and getting everybody acclimated to it, and then they need some time to just. Work. They just need to go in there and work it and do it. And I see it in her practice. Like you were cautious about taking more time off from practice. Like when I've met you, you were at 4 days and you went to 3. A lot of at his advice, at T-Bone's advice. And what happened? You made more money.
I did. Yeah, I got out of the way.
Yeah, but there's a missing piece there. She makes more money because she's changed her service mix. And I think I agree 99% with all the things that you said, Justin. I think the challenge there is most people bring an associate in and think they need to double their practice, and they're not willing to put the effort into doubling their practice. And the truth is what really needs to happen for an associateship to really succeed, the owner dentist has to actually take a step back and change their game, not to expect the associate to change the game. The associate's going to come in and be the commodity in the practice, okay? Randy should become the expert in the practice. In other words, people that demand to see him should see him. Like, they have the needs. Not because I want to see Randy because I've seen him for 32 years, but because they have a service and skill that Randy provides that Randy will do. So, like, for Chris, I'm making this assumption, is that going to 3 days and is part of it. It's the revenue continues to come in because she's doing more implants and more cosmetic cases, which bring more revenue than the traditional general dentistry.
I also have seen, that's 100% true, I think, but I also see that now this year she's taken, not only she worked 3 days a week, but like
she takes
a month, 1 week a month off.
Yeah.
And what we've seen is like when she got out of the way, her associates stepped up.
Yep.
They came to play.
Yeah,
and like it's always your fear, like you're like, God, revenue's gonna go down. I'm not gonna be as profitable. These things, but she has an associate that is taken to implants and to surgery, and the other one has taken to like the
restorative.
That machine just runs all day long, and they are great about splitting the hygienes and stuff. Like it's but they stepped up.
Mm-hmm. They did. Yeah. And they like it when I'm gone.
Maybe a little too much.
I know, maybe a little too much.
I'm working 3 days in the month of April.
And it is scary. I mean, it was for me. It was scary for me.
But I'm not scared anymore.
I know, because you've seen it proven.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'm scared shitless.
Yep.
Yeah. You know?
That's normal.
Because I've just done nothing but work all my life, from little boy
on up. But it's not like I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm on spring break next week. Then I'm going to COIS for a week. And then I had my own classes that we're doing. So it's not like I'm on vacation. I'm working. I'm just, you know, I've come to the mindset that, and I don't mean this demeaning to anyone, but I've come to the mindset that traditional dentistry is not fulfilling to me.
Well,
like,
sure.
I want to focus on other things. I want to focus on the things that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And so I've become very selfish in that, and that the associates and the partners in the practice are the means for me to be able to get to that point.
Oh, and it serves them well.
Yeah, so they make a great living. They get to do great dentistry. They have a great environment to work in.
Yeah. So.
And they, too, will practice their trade until they find something within it. Hopefully they find something within it that excites them, and the process starts over again, because you've been jettisoned out, and then someone's going to step in, and they're going to end up filling your shoes with the implants and the...
It's already started.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing the single implants anymore. You know, my associate's starting to do them. And so that's a very strategic plan, because we brought a second associate in, right? And so we're not expanding our practice. We're not increasing hygiene. So how are we going to keep the second associate busy? And for me, that is great. So first associate's busy. So we're going to take away her basic dentistry, feed that to the second associate. And then she's going to take away my basic dentistry, which is now single units. And she's going to do all the single unit implants. And then I'm going to focus on rebuilding my part of the practice with just doing full arch implants. And honestly, I only need to do two to three arches a month to justify all of that, right? So in theory, I can work 3 days a month and produce what I'm convinced I can work 3 to 4 days a month and produce what I used to produce for the business. And so that's the goal, right? But it comes from intention, because I've still got to make money. I mean, I'm too young and I don't have enough to where I can't not work. So, I mean, I've got to produce revenue for my family. So that there is that component of it.
Yeah, I mean, you got a kid that's going to drive. Like, he has to have a car, right?
Oh, he already has the car.
I know. Yeah.
That drives itself. Let's be clear about that.
Well, it may drive itself. We didn't pay for the $10,000 full self-driving option.
Of course not. Didn't even let him have a color. It's just gunmetal gray.
Yeah, it's the free color.
Free color.
Dude, it's smart, though. Because if you want to get people not to buy different colors, just charge money for the colors. And as soon as I saw that white was $1,500 option, I'm like, we don't need white. We need whatever's free.
DeLorean, just stainless steel.
Perfect.
Yeah, no paint.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you take more off, I just take no paint?
Yeah. Like, legitimately, I'll take no paint.
Primer. I drove a car painted in primer in high school. Well, just spots.
I did too. Like, I had to, you know, I paid to have it restored after I clipped a gate, you know, with it. And then I drove around in primer until I had enough money to get it painted, because my dad was like, you know, you broke it, you fix it, you know. So I drove it around with primer for 4 or 5 months until I made enough money out on the ranch to, like, go pay for it.
You know, I think the other thing that's lost, because I'm always business here, the other thing that's lost in...
Sucked us back in.
In having an associate is we get to do more of the dentistry we want to do. There's more smiles in your practice.
Well,
more implants.
That
in
would
practice.
Be something to look forward to.
Yeah, but not just because you don't have to do other stuff. It's because
no,
you're
because
finding
you like
more
it.
Of other. But you find more. Like, my implant business has doubled in the last 4 years because I'm not doing general dentistry anymore. I'm not doing root canals, fillings, or crowns. Okay, so since you took those away, I have more space, more margin in my schedule, and we just magically fill those with more implants. And so the marketing hasn't changed. None of that's changed. It's just my availability and focus has changed. So that's the other thing that I see with associates. Now the real question becomes is, I'm not asking you personally this question. It's just a rhetorical question. Is, can people go through the 6 month haircut of waiting that out? Okay. And I think that's where the challenge comes for most people. And so that's why I'm a big believer in making the decision now and saying, you know what, a new dentist is going to cost me, what, $150,000? Let's call it $150,000. So that's 6 months of $75,000. So then what I would do is escrow $75,000 away if that took me an extra 6 months or a year to save the money. and say, you know what, now as of, let's say January 1st, you'll save up $75,000. And then I'll say, you know what, I got $75,000. I got a runway, working capital, to bring an associate in to make it the way I want to make it so that you can wait it out versus having to go into survival mode and be like, okay, let's change this. Let's start doing dentures. Let's start doing all these things that maybe we weren't doing before. So that's kind of my mindset every time we brought an associate in, is I preset aside the money.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In advance. And the truth is, we never dip into the working capital. Mm-hmm. You know, it just magically works out.
Yep.
But it also does depend on me giving away. I got to give away some of the procedures.
Sure.
I got to become less busy. But yeah.
Are you good with that, Randy?
It totally makes sense.
You didn't answer the question.
Oh, yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay. All right. So we've started the ball rolling. You've got a timeline of getting your first interview done. We'll 60 days from now, we'll return to the podcast, and we will talk about.
Well, good. That passes symposium. That's only 3 weeks, so at least I get a 60-day lead.
Yeah, we gave you 60 days. Like, we're not unreasonable people.
Doesn't mean you can't do your first interview by then.
Yeah. That's probably true.
So if anybody in here, what city are you living in?
Vermilion, South Dakota.
Where's that at?
South Dakota.
That's a big state. Is it near Sioux Falls?
Yes, hour from Sioux Falls.
Okay, great. If you're in the
Sioux Falls, 2 hours from Omaha.
If you're in the Sioux Falls / Omaha, Nebraska area, and you'd like to work for Randy Huska or like to explore his practice, we would love for somebody to reach out and have him do an interview in the next couple of 3 weeks. So that way we can talk to him when we're all at the Implant Pathway
Thank
Symposium.
Thank God no one listens to this podcast.
Just a couple of people do. And all it takes is one.
Are we going to put this on T-Bone's podcast too?
Yeah, oh, no.
Might as well.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. Oh, okay. It'll change, unreasonable.
You know, it'll change your life. It'll suck for a year and a half, but yep. It'll change your life.
You will have more time to buy furniture with your wife.
Yes.
And paint it.
And go out to Custer with her.
That's right.
Custer,
see?
South Dakota, in the Black Hills of South Dakota.
What's that? Is that the first? His
wife has a tell us about Rita's business.
So she has a store that's decor. I don't even know what you call it. She refinishes a lot of furniture, home decor, floral, all that shit. Mm-hmm. And then she's opening another one 400 miles away because that's really convenient.
400 miles is just a hop, skip, and drive in South Dakota.
It's the most boring drive ever across South Dakota.
400 miles.
Almost
400
as bad
miles.
As Nebraska.
Look, 400 yeah. miles in nowhere is amazing drive. That's a long time to be in a car. 30 minutes would be a fun drive. No more than that.
So anyway, she's opening another store. Do you know Kari Bolin? Did you ever meet her?
No, I don't think so.
Anyway, she was at Pathway quite a bit. She just opened a dental practice in Custer, South Dakota, which is not far from Mount Rushmore, all that type of stuff. So we'll stop and visit her a bit. She'll be right down the road 5 miles, and I'll have to make that. I mean, I'm still got to work.
Yeah.
But I'll have to make the trip out there quite a bit. So, but anyway, she does that. She's retail, and it's a lot of work.
It's okay.
You know, in her 50s, she decides she's going to redo furniture.
Perfect.
No, I got to throw china hutches, all this shit I got to haul around.
Well, that's why you need an associate. You can make them do that on the side. If you get a strapping male one.
I'm like, couldn't you?
Well, maybe a strapping female. I mean, it's a new world.
You can't ask.
They may be both.
Yeah, I'm like, couldn't you get into birdhouses or something? Why china hutches and stuff? Buffets. Shit's heavy.
People like that shit.
Oh, I know, but I need a Tommy lift on the back of my truck is what I need.
You know what? The money that you are going to save and make from the associate, you're going to be able to buy that new Ford truck with the Tommy lift.
Well, there you go.
The King Ranch.
No, I already got a one ton. I just don't have the Tommy lift.
Well, we'll just
get that's bigger than a King Ranch.
You can just get that put in.
I just know King Ranch for some reason. I don't even know what that looks like. What that is.
Big truck. It's a big truck.
We know trucks.
I know electric cars.
Do you buy them over at Moody's?
What's that?
Do you buy your vehicles over at Moody Ford over in Niagara?
No, my front desk, who is a hygienist, is married to the Ford dealer in town.
Oh, in town, yeah. Wow, so that's probably better to buy it in town.
I'm stuck with Ford.
Yeah.
Fix or repair daily? Found on road dead?
Yeah. Never have to recharge?
I feel like the title of this podcast will be Huska Gets Bullied in a Corner.
It should be.
Yeah, I thought we were talking to Acteon. What the hell?
Those guys are actually working.
No, they're actually selling stuff.
Yeah.
How long do you think you give an associate, and vice versa, as an associate, how long do you think you give a practice in that transition?
What do you mean by that? Give them to what?
Give them to...
Decide if they're the one?
Yeah, decide if they're the one.
I don't believe anybody's ever the one.
We won't tell Mona.
No, I mean, that's a different story. That's legally the one. And I desire her to be the one. But no, because life changes. Like, I have an associate right now. She's a phenomenal fit for our practice. I would love for her to be with us forever. Okay? But my assumption is at some point, her life will change. And
away she goes.
And maybe away she goes. Or she decides she wants to own her own thing. Or, she, you know, or maybe my practice is too big to join. Or any number of things. So I don't look at that as a forever. I'm not looking for a forever associate.
Like, she might be the one, mm-hmm. right now. You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
life changes.
What's your criteria? Like your associate starts, like how are you? Are you like, are you checking their charts? Are you like, what are you?
Yeah,
so
the first thing is I put my main assistant with the associate. Okay, so the one that works with me day to day knows how I want things to be running, that can evaluate the work. Okay, we take pre-ops and post-op X-rays on all the dentistry, fillings, crowns.
For how long?
For a month. Okay, and then we have a discussion around the dentistry on a daily basis via text, or in our case, Slack, and text about that. And then we sit together once a week. And we kind of randomly just look at hygiene patients and just do some treatment planning together and do some communication role playing.
Little calibration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you had to let an associate go?
Absolutely. Yeah. We've had one that's been there 4 to 6 weeks, and clinically it wasn't a good fit for us. We've had associates leave us after 4 to 6 weeks because it's not what they expected or what they wanted. And everybody's a little bit different.
Yeah, I've you know, my biggest problem was in being rural Western Nebraska and not being able to keep them because of the lifestyle.
Yeah, or the spouse's lifestyle.
Well, it's generally that because most dentists, whether you're male or female, is probably married or dating someone of education. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe even master's level or doctorate level, and like, you know, you have a little better time in Vermilion and. Going to Sioux Falls, which is a large town, like they could live there and work in your practice.
Sure.
You know, I think that, you know, the smaller you go, the better it is to live in your own city. But, Raleigh, like hell, you could live anywhere and nobody really care where you lived.
Yeah.
Nor would they really know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other thing I just came to my mind. Sorry, squirrel.
Used to squirrels.
My most successful associates have been ones that have come out of DSO offices. That they haven't enjoyed their experience there.
Yeah.
And the ones that have come then and they say, I'm just looking to try something different. I'm like, do you dislike the DSO you're with? And the answer is no. Then I know that's probably not going to be a good fit for our practice because culturally we're just so diametrically opposite, generally speaking. Not all DSOs are the same. That's what I've typically seen when somebody's trying to leave a DSO because they don't like the style of dentistry or the pace of dentistry or, you know, some of the control issues and things like that. Generally, those have been better situations for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
And you know what? The situation is better, you know, generally because they are most likely coming out of a higher production, mm-hmm. like very pushed to... Mm-hmm. to see more patients and produce more. And, you know, there's something to be said about going from dental school to a DSO to get that ramp up.
Yep, to get that experience.
Yeah, to get that ramp up in, like, seeing running multiple, you know, columns and, like, you know, however you do it.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but I think all graduates should go work for DSOs. I think graduates that go work for private practices are sometimes shortchanging themselves because it's not the right environment sometimes to get your speed up.
Get pushed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You got to get pushed.
Well,
a little
you have
bit.
That, like
absolutely.
I worked that experience for a year.
Yep, I did private practice, and I worked 6 days a week when I got out, and I learned all the systems and efficiencies, mm-hmm. and they pushed me way more at a DSO at a corporate office than they ever did in private practice. But
I mean, I've heard you speak. Like one of the things that they do, they're very good at systems.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, like because it's McDonald's.
Yeah. Right.
Right. You know, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, in fact, we should learn from that. They onboard team members better than we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a system. They have a system for it. And if you think about it.
I have no system.
Neither do I.
It sounds like you have a bit of a system.
We have a bit of a system, yeah. But yeah. I mean, we don't have a formalized, like, here's a
But you don't have, like
here's an operations manual on how we do it. I mean, I don't have that. It's all in my head. So as long as I'm breathing, it's okay.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that is a I think that's a plus.
Yeah.
And we do have a lot to learn from the DSOs.
Mm-hmm, a lot.
Because if you think about what they do, like, in private practice, like, we're looking, like, especially when we talk about implants, like, what are we looking at? Like, trying to serve the top 7 to 10% of the population?
Not even.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, and what the DSOs do a very good job in is they step in and they increase that block to maybe 15.
Yep.
And you know that they're out to increase the percentage of people that can come into them to be affordable.
Right.
Because it's all driven by the socioeconomic of the patient. And those that can learn to see a bigger swath of patients and still make money at it, there's a lot to be learned there.
And then you can learn, see, but the benefit there is then you can learn to really niche it down a little bit, okay, if you choose to do that. So it's hard to, it's like my big mistake in when I started was trying to be a niche practice off the go. Instead of building a bigger practice, a good general dentistry brace, and now what I've done is I've been able to niche out what I do within the office.
Take your niche out of that big package.
Yeah, and
I got a big package. No, that didn't sound right at all.
That will not be edited out. That could.
No.
New title.
No, John. Don't listen to him.
New title of podcast.
Jesus.
Randy Huska has a big package.
I'm no, John.
Not to laugh.
You're fired.
It's like you were just set up for it.
I fucking walked right into that.
Right, oh, boy. I didn't even say anything. I mean, I've turned red, and I'm brown. I'm dark brown.
Okay, move on.
No, I think we're stuck in this spot right here.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to move on.
I really like your idea about asking for the dentist's work.
Thank you.
All the associates I have not asked to see their work in photographs.
She likes you more than me.
And radiographs, photographs, all of it. And
well,
I think
that's
brilliant.
Well, it tells you a lot about their mindset.
Absolutely.
Right? How hard are they willing? You know, a lot of everybody wants something, mm-hmm. right? They want to be something. And the real question is, are you willing to did what I did to get there, right? And so let's prove it. Are you willing to do the hard work? Because getting somewhere, it's not good English. I understand that.
Okay.
But you know, it's designed not to be good English because it's hard work getting wherever I'm at, you're at, no matter how big or small or how famous or not famous or whatever it is, getting to 30, dude, making it in dentistry for 30 years, you got to do the hard work.
Absolutely.
Okay. Even if all you do are fillings and crowns like Randy Huska, you got to do the hard work. Okay.
He does implants.
Implants too. He could do more implants.
If he wants to.
If he got rid of the fillings and the crowns.
That's probably true.
I know it's true because I've experienced it in my own life.
I agree.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Because he has a big package.
You know this.
How big is the implant package you buy?
Move on.
What's new? What's new in your world, T-Bone?
Not much, you know. Honestly, it's we brought in a second dentist into the practice. I think we'll be ready for a third dentist probably by early next year, early 2023. And at that point, I think I'll step down to 3 days a month is what I want to do. But I want to go to the office still. But I want to go as a instructor. Like I want to kind of spend a day or two in the office. Working with the associates to really truly mentor them.
A real mentorship.
Yeah, a real mentorship. And that's kind of where I see my career moving towards. So now it's just a matter of executing that vision. I'd like to see it early 2023, you know, maybe that's realistic, maybe it's not realistic, you know. You never know what curveball you're going to get thrown at you.
Yeah. How about 3D dentists?
Yeah, we're doing great, man. You know, our retreat is phenomenal.
I need to get down there and see that cult compound. Yeah,
bring
you
it
built.
On, man.
Well, we're gonna do a little pathway retreat.
Yeah, we should.
There.
Really?
Yeah.
When's that?
We're working on it.
Yeah, we just got to work on a date.
Throw me a date. I'll try to make it.
It's there's I think Tarun and I and Chris have an understanding. Like there's an abundance in this world.
So much.
And I'm sure that you know there's been a few people walk by and they're like, what are those two guys talking about? You know, it's like it's not a competition thing. You know, we provide excellent education, and I want to hear a little bit about your nonprofit.
Yeah, a nonprofit.
Talk about your nonprofit.
Oh, that's new, isn't it?
Yeah, so Smile3D is what we're calling it. Is started. So we've done 3 educational programs there. So right now our nonprofit doesn't run full time. It only runs when we do courses, or when we're screening patients. So our goal, my mandate is very clear: world class dentistry for working class people. I don't have a desire to work on. I mean, I'm not saying I won't work on the homeless, but that's not my goal. My goal is to work on teachers, firemen, policemen, the grocery store clerk.
The workers,
you know, the people that truly make this country run, the people that can't afford the dentistry that we provide. And I want to create a win-win-win situation. I want to win as a business owner, certainly. I want to create a win for the patient, for them to get world-class dentistry that they could not otherwise afford. And I want the attendee dentist to win, because I want them to learn skills in a true environment that they're going to work for. And so there's another nonprofit in town, 10, 15 miles up the road, and they're focused on the less fortunate or underserved is what I call it. I mean, I think working class people are underserved as well, so that's our mandate. That's what I want to work on, and our goal is to provide them with implants, extraction bone grafts. At some point, we'll do smile design, and so we're only going to provide high level, world class dentistry. We're not going to do. I'm not interested in being a place where you do fillings or single crowns and that stuff. I literally only want to work on people that want to have their smiles improved, that need to have their teeth removed, want to replace them with implants. That's where we'd like it to go. So,
well, I from personal experience, the majority of the patients that we see at Pathway are exactly what you described. Yeah. School teachers, bus drivers, pizza delivery people, retirees.
Retirees.
Yeah, because, especially the retirees, of course, Scottsdale and that surrounding area has a lot of retirees.
Yeah.
And when, many of the people, they retire and they have $40,000 to $60,000 a year to navigate. And when you tell someone that it's going to take $4,000 on a low side.
For one tooth.
So now let me get this straight. I need to spend 10% of
my money
to fix one tooth.
Yeah.
And
the answer is no.
Yeah. At Pathway, if they go through one of the courses and they go through the restorative course,
it's free.
Screw retain. It's next to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They may pay a little for the crown, but that same person that makes 40 to 60, if you can replace the tooth for $600.
Yeah.
That's doable.
It's not going to break the bank.
Right.
Yeah, and they'll see more value in the product that you're looking for, and they'll quit thinking with their pocketbook and think about the value and the benefit that we provided for them. So I want to hear about the overdenture course you guys just did.
Yeah, so Jock just did an overdenture program. It's he wanted to do something on his own. I said, you're known as the overdenture guy. It's what he does.
Who is this?
Jock Jernigan. He runs a denture and implant center in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina.
Okay. I think I've heard the name.
Jock's a great guy. Up and coming, great, 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 talented individual with a great disposition and demeanor for education. I said, I'd love to do an overdenture. I said, I'm not qualified to teach it because I don't do them. So he put it together. So we did a pilot program with 4 dentists, and it was great. We wanted to prove that it works. We wanted to prove that there's a need out there. It was 3 days. Day 1 was didactic. Day 2 was a demo surgery and reviewing your live patient cases. And then day 3, everybody got to do their own arch anywhere from 2. Most of them placed 4 implants.
Right.
So we're trying to teach 4 implant overdentures. And not just the 2 implant overdentures, but sometimes 2 is all the space you got. But our goal is to try to get 4 in.
Well, I appreciate you talking about that, because we were just out in San Francisco, and the title of my lecture was "Overdentures is the Gateway to Full Fixed."
Yep.
And I really believe that, because if you want to get into full arch restorations. Yep. And the only thing in your toolbox is all on X and zirconia and fixed work. Like, man, you're leaving the majority of the patient behind.
80% of the patients.
You're leaving the majority of them behind. And life happens. So if you set those patients up for a four-implant overdenture and you put them in the right spots, you know, they may inherit some money. They may get a better job. They may decide they don't like the overdenture and I want to go to the fix and I'll borrow the money.
Yep.
But like you've got to get that other group.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I like Jock talked about. He talked about setting these cases up as if they were going to do fix down the road.
The only way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that involved alveoplasty. So we did, everybody got to do full flaps, you know, identify the nerve on the lower arches, do some alveoplasty, place the implants. You know.
Were these all surgically guided?
We had surgical guides. We did pilot guides.
Oh.
So we wanted, we you know, so as we.
Did I, so am I interpreting that there was a little freehand dentistry going on?
I just want to get on record. We had fully guided guides. But we asked them to use pilots only so that they, because, you know, as you go farther and farther along, you need to have freehand skills. I don't believe you need to have freehand skills for the onesie twosies. You know, I know we disagree a little bit on that, and that's okay.
For sure.
But I think as you get to fuller cases, you need to start having the freehand skills. So we want to have the backup of the guide. And so what we ask is that we do a pilot guide. And that we then freehand the implants from there, so that way we're starting to teach those skills. And quite frankly, the people that are doing overdentures should have more skill set to begin with.
Right.
So we want to provide that for them.
I think it's a great way. Yeah. I think it's spot on.
Yeah, and those that, you know, those that are like, hey, I want to do it all guided. You can do half of them guided, but we want you to do a couple of them.
Sure.
You know, and I think you should have a guide so that you put the implants in the right spot, do the pilot, and then finish it out freehand. And then, you know, that to me is a great safe way of doing it to ensure a good result for. And again, you know, at 3D Dentists, we focus on dentists that are looking to do implants in a digital workflow. So generally speaking, they are going to be less surgically surgically inclined to begin with.
Initially,
yeah.
So. Yeah, I enjoyed. Jock came out to the
complications
course in Napa last year. Really enjoyed some time spending with him. He's you got some great people working with you.
Yeah, we're very
except for the Sully guy, like
the haircut guy.
You know,
now we got to get him to shave his beard.
He has a beard.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is that there was a. Trin and I had a small lapse of judgment one year.
We offered him $10,000 to get his
VOD.
Haircut.
It was 40.
$40,000.
We said that if Sully would let us cut his hair, shave it.
Yeah.
If Sully would let us shave his head, and that's when he had his big
mullet.
The mullet. That we would pony up $40,000 to the charity of his choice. And thankfully, he went home to think about it, and his wife drove him straight to the barber.
Yeah. And saved us $40,000.
And he calls me. I never forget this. T-Bone calls me and he goes, he's laughing, his little laugh. And he's just like, Sully's wife, we're off the hook.
Yeah.
He got his haircut.
And it didn't cost us $40,000.
It didn't cost us $40,000. Because then we were just like, well, we're gonna raise the money. Yeah. We're going to get other people to donate. And it was quickly apparent, like, we were each going to cut a check for $20,000.
Nobody cared enough.
Nobody cared enough to take us off the hook. Yeah. So,
except his wife.
Bless her.
Bless her.
No, you got a good team over there. Yeah. And
thank you. And I meant it when I said from stage today that we were talking about live patient education. And I said, you know, in my opinion, there's two choices. There's you guys in Arizona, and then there's us in North Carolina. And I know there's other choices out there, but you know, we're committed to providing a great environment for people to succeed. And it's, you know, we're not transactional. Like I want people to thrive. I want them to do well. You know, it's, I'm not just trying to sell somebody a course. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't need it that bad.
I'm the same way. I actually am not interested in just the person that wants to take the course and like not go and do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and nobody like necessarily steps into that. And I think that's what we do a good job of. It's like, we try to inspire them to say, like, you can do this and you can go home and stick it with the theme. Like, you can thrive with that.
Yeah.
But like, just to sell the course, like if someone, you know, every once in a while we have people just like, hey, like, I'm not sure I just want to take that course. And I'll be like, then don't. I'm not going to hold you to the money.
Yeah.
If you want to back because you don't think you want to take the course anymore, then don't take the course.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want you to spend. I would never want someone to spend the money on something they don't really.
Yeah.
Like, if they're not into it, you know, because if you commit to, you know, if you commit to coming to the course, like, you know, my team and I are going to commit to, like, providing you the very best product we could possibly give you.
Yeah. And follow up support and service and all of those things.
Like all of us, like I, like every morning, like we answer. I don't know how many texts and emails, you know, from our alumni group. And that's
what we do.
That's what you do. Because then it comes in the form of DMs on Facebook and Instagram. And then it comes
emails,
texts, like
Slacks.
Yeah, all that stuff. But it's what we do.
But that being said, not everybody takes course, goes out and places implants. But they can restore implants far better for having taken the course, you know, just having that knowledge base for
they
themselves.
They can communicate with their surgeons very
well. Listen, you know, listen, so I think that what he just said is the cornerstone to, like, there will be people that take, you know, especially in a heavy surgical course, there will be people that be like, you know, like, I don't like blood.
Yeah.
And
I've heard of that. I've heard of people.
I've
like
heard
that.
Of people that don't like blood. And so
sometimes they adapt.
With a guide.
They cannot hear you raise
cover
your hand.
cover up the blood.
but I tell them, like, this is an example, and I did this years ago when I was in Rapid City, not that long ago, but like one of the local docs had sent a referral to the oral surgeon, and the script just says implant number 30.
Yeah.
And, you know, then it comes to me because it's off angled and this, you know, and this and that. And it has nothing to do with, like, the surgeon. Like, I'm, this isn't about bashing surgeons. It could have been a periodontist.
It could have been you.
Could have been me.
Yeah. Could have been a periodontist.
You know, yeah.
They would have been stitched up very well, though.
Yeah. The gums look amazing. But so what I discovered about that is, like, if you just write implant number 30 on that, you gave up all your power.
Yep.
Because all the power lies in, like, how do I want it to come back? Because it's my restorative plan that's placing the implant. So imagine if you went through the course that even if you didn't place, imagine if you could then send a script.
Send the guide.
Well, imagine, though, that, like, you could say I prefer it to be guided or whatever. But, like, what if you wrote down my desire is to have an implant placed in site number 30, and based upon the cone beam and the
I think it's a 5x10.
I want to do a 5.8x10.5 Biohorizon implant in there, and I would like it to be centered mesial distally and buccal lingually, so that the screw access of the crown is going to come out of the center fossa, and we're parallel to the contact point, so it can make it screw retained.
And it'll come back, and it'll be.
But here's
but
the deal.
Then it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's the person's fault for not following the
prescription.
Because
now imagine the scenario where you haven't given up your power and you asked for this and it comes back and it's
jacked.
It's tilted to the point where you got to have a custom abutment. So, you know, think about the scenario of you calling an oral surgeon or a periodontist or a GP that placed it and said, "Hey, listen, doc, like, I want to talk to you about, you know, Jane Doe's implant number 30. Oh, yeah, it's great. Like, it's
integrated.
It's integrated, and, you know, it's got a cover screw on. It's ready for your final impression. Well, that's kind of what I want to talk to you about, because based upon the angulation of the implant, I'm going to have to make a custom abutment and then now do a cement retained crown on this because of it's not parallel to the contact points. And, you know, one of my questions today is, like,
did you read my note?
Well, and I've done this and it didn't go over very well, but I said, like, I what I want to talk about is how are you going to take care of the cost of the custom abutment?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what do you mean? I was like, well, like, so my treatment plan to my patient was a screw retained crown, not a $400 Atlantis abutment that now turns it and I have to have a cement retained crown. Yeah. So, like, how can we talk about that? Because I quoted the patient X, but now I have to charge them Y, and, like, they're uninterested in paying the difference for your lack of following my plan. So I'm just like, would you be willing to
pay the money?
Pay for the abutment.
How'd that go over?
Not so good.
They hung up on me shortly thereafter that. But it goes to my deal. Like if you just write 30 on there, you gave whoever it is the restorative ability. Like, you made them have to choose what the restorative ability of this is going to be, and you lose all your power.
Yeah,
it's the same in a lab script. Like, if you don't take a picture, if you don't take a, if you don't use photography in your, I love what you said on the stage. Like, every operator, and here's the same, every operatory has a digital camera in it. Yeah. If you're going to send the work out to a laboratory, well, hell, whether you're doing it, you, like, you showed on your stage, Chris, like, you have an iPad in front of your painting station. Like, this is what it needs to look like. Because without that, imagine the same thing with a lab script. You hand drew a number 8 in there, and you got a little A2 here, and you got a little C3 here. Like some lab tech's giving you the finger on the other side, like, going, like, I got no choice. I got no chance here.
Yeah.
But if you send them a couple shade tabs, they've got the same Vita shade tab, and they can make it. And, you know, or they can
work harder. They'll work harder for you.
Yeah. Like, and then they'll be like, hey, listen, like, I like working with them. They give me more data.
Yeah.
And so, like, you just don't want to lose that power, you know.
I agree.
Yeah. So, back to the associate. So 60 days.
we're going to,
you got a big package to offer them.
I'll put that in the ad.
Yeah. Big.
Be careful what you get for your interviews there. You might have to pull out the casting couch instead.
Rita will be at every interview.
Oh, God, help me.
How glad are you to just stop by here at the booth and join them?
This has been incredible.
Well, good news for you, Randy. Oh, my boy. Time is coming to an end because I have to go get on an airplane.
Sorry to hear that. My time is coming to an end. Oh, no wonder you got associates.
I thank you both for stopping by the booth.
Chris, I'm glad you got 10 words in.
It's hard with you guys. Jeez.
He talks too much.
Oh, yes. It is all T-Bone.
My name is Karen.
I think it's a joint.
T-Bone has to catch a flight, and you have to
go teach another course. My last one, 1 out of 5.
5 times.
Five different courses. It was a busy.
That was
busy,
your stupidity.
Now, what are the odds that anyone could get you to do 5 separate courses at one of these meetings?
5 different ones?
Yes.
I've done 5 of the same ones.
No, 5 different ones.
Now, no. No chance.
I'm not afraid of hard work.
I am. I'll send my associate. My associate Sully in.
I bet, for she has worked incredibly hard to get to this point. So
absolutely,
yeah. Thank you guys. Thank you both for stopping by.
Thank you
for joining the podcast. As always, thanks for being my co-host, buddy.
Good luck on the associate.
Hopefully,
60 days.
Hopefully we'll
big package.
From Dennis Implants and Worms in Las Vegas, we'll catch you on the next episode. Cheers.
Adios.
That concludes another episode of Dentists, Implants, and Worms. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend and throwing 5 stars at us on iTunes. Catch you on another episode. And don't forget the fireball. Cheers.